Let's pray. Lord, open your word to us, open our hearts to you. In your name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, to Galatians 3, 1 through 6. So a person hears the gospel and finally gets it. He turns to Christ in faith. And wow, you know, like it is for some people, the first weeks, the first month, it's nothing short of phenomenal. In fact, it almost feels like the door between heaven and earth is halfway open and he's almost right there at the throne of God. He's so incredibly thankful for what Jesus did for him. All he wants to do is live for Jesus. So he tries real hard to do just that. Is there anything wrong with that picture? Of course not. Well, probably not. Hopefully not. But maybe. What if that new Christian doesn't know how to live for Jesus? Now, Paul thought that the Galatians knew how to live for Jesus. Remember, he and Barnabas had shared the gospel with them, and he had certainly taught them how to live for Jesus. But then the Jewish Christians came from Jerusalem, went to Antioch, and began to confuse the Galatians. Paul had told the Galatians that they live for Jesus the same way they were saved, by faith. But the Jewish Christians told the Galatians that they had, as we said last week, try again to be good in order to please Jesus. Specifically, that they had to obey the Old Testament law and the Jewish customs to be a good Christian. Hence the confusion. In response to the Galatians' growing doubt, Paul said in Galatians 3:1, "O foolish Galatians." The word for foolish in the Greek means unthinking. Unthinking. We might say, "Hey guys, you're not using your noggin." Or we might say, if we were not quite so polite, we might say, "Hey, you're acting like a bunch of idiots." Then Paul said, "Who has bewitched you?" It can be translated as, "Who put a spell on you? Who has hypnotized you?" And then he reminded the Galatians in the same verse that it was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Paul reminded the Galatians that he and Barnabas had publicly portrayed or publicly proclaimed that Jesus Christ was crucified, and they had done this before their eyes, meaning personally. The Galatians had received the gospel firsthand from the apostles. And so Paul's implying that they should have known better than to swallow the lies which they were beginning to swallow. Then he said in verse 2, "Let me ask you only this, did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith?" And of course the answer is they received the Spirit by faith, by trusting in Jesus Christ. No one can work hard enough to earn God's favor and thus be granted the Spirit. It's always, always grace. He then asked them again, "Are you so foolish?" Verse 3, "Having begun by the Spirit, faith in Christ by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" You began by faith and you received the Spirit by faith. You were saved by the Spirit by faith. So why are you now thinking that once you are saved, you have to go back to the other way of trying to be good enough to please God? If you are saved by faith, why do you think that you are not also sanctified by faith? So how does a Christian live for Jesus? The same way he was saved. By faith, by trusting in Jesus every step of the way. So think about it in these terms. I've had a couple of bosses at jobs I worked where I would see my boss first thing in the morning, maybe 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes, maybe not even that. And then I would head out to my job and never see my boss again for the rest of the day. I was given instructions on what I was supposed to do, and then I was on my own. That's kind of how the Jewish Christians viewed walking with Christ. Christ saves us, gives us some instructions, and then sends us out to the world to do his will. And we really never see him again until we die or he comes to gather us to himself. And all we can do is try hard to be, if you will, a good employee. And that's what the Galatians were beginning to believe as well. On the other hand, I've also had a couple jobs where I worked with my boss every day. I wasn't just given instructions and then sent out. We did the job together. If I ever had a question, all I had to do was kind of elbow my boss and ask him, because he was right there next to me. In fact, we interacted so much that we became good friends. That's kind of how Paul viewed the Christian walk. Once Christ saves us, he doesn't just send us out with instructions and say, I'll see you later at the end of the age. No, he walks with us. He works with us day after day after day. We do the job together. Indeed, think of what the scriptures say. What did Jesus say to his disciples? As he ascended on high, he commissioned the church to take the gospel to the whole world. And then he said, Matthew 28:20, I am with you always. I am with you always. To the end of the age. Or if you want to make it personal, I am with you always. To the end of your life. I'm always with you. And then again, he said in Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. I'm always by your side. Come what may, no matter where you go, no matter what you're doing, I am always with you. And not only can we walk with Jesus every day, he expects us to. He said in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We are expected to abide in him, to walk with him, day by day, hour by hour. So I will say it again, just as we are saved by faith, so too we walk by faith. And why would we want it any other way? Why would we rather have our boss, Jesus, assign us to a task, give us some instructions, and then leave us? Why would we prefer that to having a boss, Jesus, who works with us every day? But Galatians 3:1, just like the Galatians, sometimes we are foolish, aren't we? Or unthinking, or bewitched. Sometimes trying to stand on our own 2 feet sounds so reasonable, so right. If you're like me, from a young age, I was taught the older I grew up, the more I was supposed to stand on my own 2 feet. And that's a good thing as far as the world's concerned. Not a good thing spiritually. Not a good thing spiritually. We cannot stand on our own 2 feet spiritually. We need Jesus Christ. It's as I always say, we're never alone except for when we forget who we are with. We are never alone except for when we begin to act foolishly and try to stand on our own. And who is with us each day? The creator of the universe. The one who made everything. The one who can do whatever he wants to do. He is the one who is with us. We don't walk alone. I think that's marvelous news. So Paul then asked the Galatians in verse 4, did you suffer so many things? In vain, if indeed it was in vain. Paul said to the Galatians, you started out walking by faith. You started off trusting in Jesus as you walk through your days. And then, apparently, in the process, they took some heat for that. They suffered many things. And then they began to turn their back on Jesus because of the Jewish Christians. And Paul is saying to them, is that really what you want to do? When a child is young, say 2 or 3, and his parents take him to a busy place like the zoo, what do? One or both of them grab his hand and walk with them through a zoo, if the place is busy. Think of a big zoo in a big city. They take his hand so that, you know, he doesn't get lost or run over and so on and so forth. Now, the child doesn't know his way around the zoo. He could easily get lost. But he doesn't care. Why? Because dad and mom know where they're going, right? Nor does he know where the elephants are, and everybody wants to see the elephants. But he doesn't care because what? Mom and dad know where the elephants are, and mom and dad will take him there. He didn't bring any lunch, but he doesn't care. Why? Because he knows mom and dad will stop at some concession and buy them all food, and it'll be good food, fun food anyway. And then, you know, he's not scared by the crowd or by some of the scary people in the crowd, or at least not scared too much. Why? Mom and dad are holding his hands, and he knows mom and dad will protect him. All that boy is really thinking about is what a wonderful day it is, having fun with mom and dad at the zoo. And then the boy turns 12 or 13, sometimes way before that. At that point, he doesn't want to hold mom and dad's hand, does he? Not even in private, let alone in public. He might not even want to go to the zoo anymore with mom and dad. That's so not cool. He gets to be too sophisticated for just hanging out with mom and dad. Of course, as the years roll by and the parents grow old and infirm, then he would give anything to take them to the zoo. The point is this, we get to walk with Jesus. And if we, like the Galatians, are too sophisticated to do that, choose not to do that, or too foolish to do that, shame on us. Amen. Now, the Jewish Christians, they thought that all of this was something new. You know, a deviation from what was always taught in the scriptures. And they would have argued this. They would have said, did not God command his people to obey the laws of Moses? And yes, God did. But the command to the Jews to obey the law of Moses, Paul will argue, the command to the Jews to obey the law of Moses was what was new, not walking by faith. So Paul said in Galatians 5 and 6, does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Why did God supply the Spirit and work miracles among the Galatians? Was it because of their works or because of their faith? Because of their faith. No one can ever earn God's favor. So the Galatians had trusted in God and his grace, and as a result, were born again, received the Spirit's, and witnessed many miracles among them. And this, Paul is saying, is the way it has always been. He then refers to Abraham in verse 6, who believed God and was counted to him as righteousness. Abraham, as you know, was the father of the Jewish nation, and he predated Moses. He believed, he had faith, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And so walking by faith, Paul says, predated the giving of the law. And when you think about the law was given to the Jewish people to make them a distinct people. But what did Jesus say about the law and the prophets? They were all summed up in him. So if a Jew truly wanted to fulfill the laws of Moses, he would do so by trusting in Jesus Christ. Now think of what a great example of walking by faith Abraham was. Genesis 12:1. This is the verse that Paul quoted. God said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." He basically said, "Paul, pack your belongings, get in the car, start driving, and I'll tell you where to go. At some point in time, I will tell you where to go." And Abraham packed up his belongings, so to speak, got in the car, and drove off, not knowing where he'd end up. That's faith, isn't it? In the same way, verse 2, God said, "I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing." And once again, Abraham believed God. And then in verse 3, I don't have it up here, but verse 3 is where it says that he believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness. That is how we walk by faith. We take God at his word and act accordingly. Pretty simple concept. Sometimes hard to do, but a very simple concept. We take God at his word, we trust him, and then we act accordingly. And that's the way it has always been. Always. So bear with me. Let's take a quick walk through the Old Testament with the author of Hebrews. Hebrews 11:4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death. Verse 7, by faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark. Do you see a pattern? Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go up to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. In the same way, verse 11, by faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who was promised. Verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. That one I still find amazing. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. And then he himself, 24 and 25, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. It has always been by faith. How do we walk with God? By faith. By faith in Jesus Christ. And then the author of Hebrews goes on, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell you of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets." He says there's too many examples to list them all. "Who through faith conquered kingdoms," again, through faith, "conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight." All these things, all these various things, every aspect we can think of our life, all of this was done by faith. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment, again, by faith. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, again, by faith. "Of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth." God's people are called to walk by faith with Jesus. I think that's marvelous. We don't have to be especially clever or brave or talented or whatever, all we have to do is walk with Jesus. That's the way it's always been. It's marvelous, isn't it? Those of you who are older, do you remember when you got your first color TV? Wasn't that cool? Before you got your color TV, the scenery on shows like Bonanza was nice. That scenic panorama, it was nice in black and white. But then when you saw it in color, wow, it was really cool. Before we got our color TV, I did not know that in The Wizard of Oz, the very beginning, or when they get to Emerald City, that the horse of many colors actually changed different colors from one step to another step to another step. And then we got our color TV, it's like, the horse changes color, that's so cool. And my favorite, Star Trek, I was a big Trekkie fan. When we got our color TV and you saw someone with a red shirt, you knew he was going to die within a few minutes of the show, because they always did. Who watches black and white TV anymore? And why would anyone want to? When a person boils his faith down to a set of rules, even if they're biblical rules, when a person boils his faith down to a set of rules, like the Jews did, that's black and white TV. That person might feel good about himself, because usually when we boil our Christian faith down to a set of rules, what do? We boil it down to the rules that we can usually fairly keep ourselves. I don't lie, I don't cheat, I don't drink in excess, so on and so forth. We boil it down to the rules that we are able to keep ourselves, so we feel good about ourselves. I'm not a bad Christian. I might not be a great Christian, but I'm not bad. But when a person boils down his faith to a set of rules, there's no depth to that faith. Walking with Jesus, that's color TV. That's color TV. It's 3D TV. It's, if you will, it's live theater. It doesn't get any better than that. So once again, living by faith, walking with Jesus, that is the way it was always meant to be. And what a blessed way it is. So a person hears the gospel and finally gets it. He turns to Christ in faith, and wow, those first weeks, those first months, they're phenomenal. Again, it's almost like the door to heaven is halfway open, and you can see God and feel God and so on and so forth. He's incredibly thankful for what Jesus has done. All he wants to do is live for Jesus, and so he tries as hard as he can to do so. Anything wrong with that picture? It depends, doesn't it? Depends on whether or not he knows how to live for Jesus. And how do we do that? The same way we are saved, by trusting in him. Let's pray. Jesus, we do trust you. We know you are good. We know you love us. We know you are in control of all things. And we know that you know what you are doing. So lead on, Lord. We will follow. We are yours to command. Send us out to do your work and equip us for the task. And Lord, we confess, we do not have great faith. We do not. But we do have a great God. In your name we pray. Amen.